Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. In this edition of Radio Curious, we visit with Reed Edelman, the producer and director of the musical extravaganza, The Music Man. Edelman is a professor of theater arts at Mendocino College in Ukiah, California. This production of The Music Man, presented by the Mendocino College Theater Arts Department and the Ukiah Civic Light Opera, involves more than 100 people from the Ukiah community. It opens April 12th and plays through April 21st at the Mendocino College Center Theater on the Ukiah campus. I met with Reed Edelman in the Radio Curious studios on March 29th, 2013, and began our visit when I asked him, why The Music Man?
We do a musical every so often at the college, every couple of years. And I chose The Music Man this year, first of all, because it's a wonderful, wonderful show, just quite simply. I've always loved musicals. Musicals were the thing that got me interested in theater as a kid. I'd wear out the cast albums listening to them over and over again, and shows like Music Man and other, you know, Guys and Dolls and Hello Dolly and Cabaret, and I just as a kid devoured these, and Music Man is a great one. Music Man, maybe in my mind, as far as the lighter shows, the comic musicals, stands out with Guys and Dolls as maybe two of the greatest shows ever written. And this year in particular, I wanted to do a large cast show. We had done a fairly serious season last year. Last year's season was Oedipus by Sophocles and The Seagull by Anton Chekhov, which were both wonderful productions, but rather serious. And I wanted to do a show that would appeal to a wide audience, that would bring in a large portion of the community, both in as audience members and also as performers. This show has over 100 people working on it. We have a cast of 40. We have even more people working backstage, the costume crew, set crew, lighting crew. So there's a huge number of people coming together to make this happen. And that was exciting to me to you know, that when we do the more serious fare, you know, do a production of Oedipus or Seagull, it can be a wonderful experience, but it doesn't necessarily have the appeal that a big musical does. And that's fine, because we're a college and we should be doing all kinds of things and doing work that sometimes it's just about the artistry and it's for the experience of the students who are doing it and maybe a smaller subsection of the population. But I also see part of what I do in this theater is wanting to inspire our whole community with a love of theater and get, you know, people excited about coming. And Music Man was definitely, that was the goal, was to do a big show that would bring in lots of people.
And watching you talk now, I can see you exude the love of theater with your grin. So in a comic sense,
yes,
I've often referred to Ukiah, where we are now, the
yes.
home of Radio Curious and the home of Mendocino College, where you're a professor of theater arts.
Correct.
I've often referred to it as River City. And I'm wondering if the connection, Ukiah being a small American town,
right,
came to your mind in selecting The Music Man.
Not necessarily. I don't think I necessarily thought about Ukiah in that way. I did think about, we did our fall show this year was Inherit the Wind, which is also set in a small town around the same time period and was sort of echoing back to a different era in American history. And I do try to look for connections when I choose a season, back to your first question about why I chose the show. So even though Inherit the Wind, which is based on the Scopes Monkey Trial, which we did in the fall, is a much more serious play than Music Man, both of them, to me, sort of made a season in the sense that they were this look back to an earlier era, maybe a simpler era, although I'm not sure that's true for Inherit the Wind so much, but sort of a study of Americana. And so I guess in a way, Ukiah fits that as being a small town, different pace of life than the big city. But no, I wasn't thinking specifically of Ukiah when I chose Music Man. I think what's come up for me thinking about you know, what I mentioned before about my childhood and my love of musicals, I think Music Man brings up, if anything, a sense of thinking about childhood and the past in that way. Meredith Wilson, who wrote it, was writing about his own experience growing up in Iowa as a child. And he then moved to Los Angeles and became a musician and a composer and a film and television writer. And Music Man was his only big success as a musical. But he said he was writing it to sort of pay homage to his childhood.
Tell us about your role as the director. You're the point man.
I am.
From beginning to end.
Yeah, and in this job, I function not only as the director, but also as the producer or the artistic director, in a sense. So so my job does begin, as we have been talking about, with choosing the show. And that's something that is often not the job of the director. I'm lucky to be able to be in a position where I do get to do exactly what I want to do when I want to do it, which is nice.
In your job and yeah, get paid for
exactly.
It.
Generally, the producer or the artistic director of a company will choose a season and then hire directors to direct those shows. So in this case, my job as a director begins with, you know, creating a season, choosing the shows it will do. And that's probably one of the most complicated things I do is choose the show. And I read lots of plays, and I'm always looking for the right show to do at the right time. And there's hundreds, you know, a huge number of factors that go into choosing the show. Among them, you know, what have we done recently? What students and community people do we have to make it happen? And choosing the show that has the right roles for the right people at the right time. Looking at the overall balance of the season.
So in that case, the right people for the right roles, you need to know the array of the students and the array of community volunteer actors.
Exactly. And I should be clear, I don't precast the shows. I don't know who I'm going to cast in the roles until we have the auditions. But I do think about, more generally, do we have the people who can pull this off? So, you know, if I didn't think that we had someone to play the role of Marion the Librarian or Professor Harold Hill, I would have thought twice before choosing the show. But then I have to look at also, you know, the number of roles available, the technical requirements, scenery, costumes, props, lighting. Do we have the facilities to pull off the requirements of the show? What is the show saying? And do I believe in it? And do I think it's relevant to our audience? So there's lots of factors that go into choosing the show. And that's probably the first responsibility of myself as the producer and director. Then once I choose the show, it begins a process of collaboration. And that is the heart of, I think, why I love doing theater is that collaborative process. So, you know,
talk about that. How does that work? As the point person, you make all the final decisions.
I do. I guess in the end, yes. I mean, the buck stops with me in terms of the final decisions, but it's not, there are many, many, many decisions that I don't make. But I start off by, you know, bringing in the people that I'm going to collaborate with before even casting the show. The actors are maybe the most important collaborators. But like, for example, in this show, Maria Monti, who teaches drama at the high school and is a dance instructor at the college, she's the choreographer, which is really in this show where there's so much dance. We worked side by side in staging the show and casting the show. Marilyn Simpson, who is the also a professor of singing at the college and is the show's vocal director, Les Futzenreuter, who's directing the orchestra, Kathy Katz, who's designing the costumes, Larry Lang, who's designing the scenery and the lighting. All these people, I start working with them before I even begin the audition process.
Let me ask about the choreographer.
Yes.
Is that left up to her discretion, or are there dances that have been used in the Music Man?
Yeah, there are. And we worked hand in hand through the whole process. So it's hard to say where, when you watch the show and you say, well, who came up with a certain idea or a certain staging idea? You know, really it's hard to say because we're working, all of these decisions are collaborative. Not to say there aren't things that each of us do on our own too. as a director, you know, I do have the script to follow and have somewhat of a guide in terms of, you know, certainly what lines the actors are going to say and some suggested staging. They're limited, but there's some suggested staging in the stage directions. I'm not bound by those, but I do use that as a guide. With the dance, very little. I mean, Maria and I did look at clips from other productions. We watched the movie versions, but ultimately, you know, Maria as the choreographer has, you know, complete freedom in terms of how she wants to create those dances. And that's one of the things about the art of dance is that, you know, it really is just, it's the music and the interpretation of the music with the performers. And that's, I think, one of the things that I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand about theater unless they are involved in it or see a lot of theater, which is that, you know, every production of a play is a unique interpretation of that play. I mean, every performance is different, but I like to, one assignment I sometimes like to give my students is to take the same play and look at three or four different versions of the same play in different productions, because it's amazing how different they can be. And you can look at the same production and see how things are interpreted differently.
What are some of those differences?
It can be what is emphasized, the theme that is emphasized. You'd be hard-pressed to do a production of Music Man and emphasize the darker, more cynical elements since it's such a happy, life-affirming show. But, you know, you could emphasize the element of character and really try to build the relationships and look at the psychological approach to what's going on in the characters.
I'd like you to talk about the development of the character.
Okay.
But before we do that, I want to say that in this edition of Radio Curious, we're visiting with Reed Edelman, a professor of theater arts at Mendocino College in Ukiah, California, about The Music Man. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Reed, the development of the character, how do you bring that out? We as the audience see what we see on the one evening or afternoon that we go to it. So we see The Music Man as we see it,
right?
Say that's The Music Man.
That's right. Yeah, and what you're seeing is one interpretation, one evening in time. And as you said, Barry, it's even different from night to night. But there is, you know, hopefully the production that we do isn't vastly different from night to night. To be alive as a work of theater, it has to be spontaneous. There has to be a give and take. And even the actors, the really good actors, they know basically what's going to happen when they go on stage. They've rehearsed it. They know what lines they're going to say and what's going to happen. But they don't really know what's going to happen from moment to moment. It's going to be improvised. Not the lines, the words they say and the notes they sing will not be improvised. But the give and take, the energy, the way lines come out will change from moment to moment and night to night. And where does that, you know, back to character, I mean, where does that come from? It comes from the whole collaborative process through the rehearsals, where we experiment with different choices, try a scene in different ways. We were just working the other night on sort of a pivotal acting scene in the play between Mary and the librarian, who's played by Roseanne Wetzel, and Harold Hill, who's played by David Strock. And, you know, talking about one of the key things we talk about in acting lingo is this idea of an objective. The character's objective is what we're looking at. What does the character want from the other character in any given moment? So we were looking at this scene and analyzing it in terms of, was Marion, to what degree was she attacking Harold Hill, being seduced by him, wanting to love him, but knowing that he's a fraud? And, you know, and so we discuss those things in rehearsal, and we try the scene in different ways, and eventually we agree on some approach within the sort of parameters that we arrive at. Then from performance to performance, it varies depending on what happens moment to moment. But the through line of the objectives, once, you know, we establish that, and that the director and the actors establish that, that becomes sort of the defining element of that production.
So using The Other Day as an example,
yeah,
how do you reach those points, stressing character in one area versus diminishing character in another area?
And it's not just character, and especially in a musical, there's so many different elements that are coming together. There's the singing, which is, you know, in a show like Music Man, people are coming to hear the songs and the dancing and of course the spectacle and the language and the music. All of this stuff is coming together, and what the emphasis on any one thing at any one moment or in the production those are the choices that a director makes. To me, if I had to sum up the job of the director in one word, it's choices. I make choices as a director. And there's hundreds of choices that get, maybe thousands of choices that get made in any given production. And, you know, should we stress this word or should we stress that word? Should we mic the actors or not mic the actors? What color palette should the costumes be in? Which instrumentation should we use for the orchestra? There's thousands of choices that get made. Some of the choices are mine. Some of them are mine in collaboration with the actors. Some of them are mine in collaboration with the design staff. But we make those choices, and then it's just the miracle of it all coming together and all these different elements merging and coming into the show that the audience will see.
So over time, beginning with your childhood, would it be fair to say that you become intimate with so many different plays and concepts mm-hmm. and processes? How does this experience that you have developed and turned into a profession as a professor,
yes,
how does that bridge over into the rest of your life?
I'm fortunate to have a family that is so supportive of my work in the theater. It can be difficult because there's so many evenings away from the family. My wife actually is a scientist. She appreciates theater and understands theater. That love of theater is one of the things that brought us together. And we have two sons, Noah, age 7, and Eli, who's 11. They both, I think, find what I do interesting and fun. One of the things that's special about this show is that Eli is actually in the production. He's one of the boys in the boys' band, and this is a chance for him to share his love of theater with his dad. It's been really special for me to be able to have him be a part of my work life. But I think the key thing that I think defines it is that I'm involved in something that I really love doing. I think that's important to my kids, to have my children see me involved in work that I'm passionate about.
Reed Edelman, is there a core or a succinct value that you feel you teach to your students?
What I think I teach as a theater teacher, more than theater, is the art of collaboration and working together as people.
How would you define the art of collaboration?
Being able to creatively and effectively work on make choices together and solve problems together and work on a project together. And that's what theater students learn as theater majors at Mendocino College. Yes, they learn to make theater, but what they're really learning to do is to work together, to create something under pressure, to meet the deadlines, the discipline, the responsibility, creativity, to use their imagination, to communicate effectively with other people. That's the heart of what they're learning. And if they don't become theater artists, they go on to whatever career or life they have. These are the key skills. So back to your question about how it affects the rest of my life, being a theater director, it's very cyclical in terms of the rhythms of my life, which I like that. I mean, I don't think I would like very much having a job where I went to work every day from 9 to 5 and it was the same job year round.
Cyclical, you're on the swell side,
yes,
of producing a performance, and you ride the crest,
yes,
and then you relax for a while,
exactly,
and start again.
That's what I mean by cyclical, exactly. That, you know, and it's always different too. So
how is it different
From production to production? Well, I mean, as I was saying before about like last year's season, doing a show like Oedipus or Seagull, it's a whole different emotional world that you're in than from doing a musical. I look at each play that I do as an opportunity to explore and to research and to immerse myself in a different imaginary world. So it's never boring. It's always new. Every production is, and it's a new set of problems to solve, and a new set of challenges. And then, like you said, I throw myself into it. We work really, really hard. And then there's usually a little bit of downtime in between and then gearing up for another production. And I really enjoy that. And and it does change, you know, it changes my family life. It means that there's periods of time where I'm super busy and then periods of time where I'm really home a lot and have time with the family. So
it sounds very similar to some of the things I do, producing Radio Curious,
yes,
or practicing law,
yeah,
preparing for a trial.
Yeah.
Let's go back to The Music Man.
Okay.
Is there a particular song that attracts you?
There's so many great songs in Music Man. And some of them are just big production spectacle numbers, like 76 Trombones is a wonderful, wonderful song. If I had to pick one, the opening number called Rock Island, which is really an unusual song. It's done as sort of an early version of a rap piece. There's really no music to it. It's just the rhythmic lines spoken. And it was really, you know, it was a fresh, this was before the age of spoken word and rap. And to have a show open with a song that really didn't have a melody to it. It was just the actors, and they create the feeling of being on a train. The train speeding up, slowing down, the steam engine, the flow of the train coming through in the way, and the characters coming out through these lines. It's a wonderful song. But then I think about, you know, a lyrical song like Goodnight, My Someone is so beautiful, romantic. And then speaking of 76 Trombones, a little trivia bit from the show is that actually 76 Trombones and Goodnight, My Someone are musically the same, note-wise, they're the same song. They have the same melody. But they're entirely, you would never recognize that in the show because of the energy, the mood, the rhythm of the way they're sung. There's a beautiful moment in the show later in the second act when Harold Hill and Marion do a duet of 76 Trombones and Goodnight, My Someone, but they've switched parts. So now Marion is singing 76 Trombones, which was Harold's sort of signature song in the first act. And then Harold Hill has fallen in love. He's recognized that he's in love with Marion, which he never thought possible. And he takes on the version of Goodnight, My Someone. It's a beautiful sort of switcheroo that happens, and their characters expressed through the music of the play.
Let's listen to that song, Goodnight, My Someone.
Goodnight, my someone. Good night, my love. Sleep tight, my someone. Sleep tight, my love. Our star is shining its brightest light. For good night, my love. For good night. Sweet dreams be yours, dear, if dreams there be. Sweet dreams to carry you close to me. I wish they may, and I wish they might. Now good night, my someone, good night.
Reed Edelman, is The Music Man a typical musical?
To have a show that has such a well-written book, you know, the book by book, I mean the script, the words, the scenes, such great songs all together. A lot of times you get a show that has great music, but the script isn't so hot. But
for example, a well-written portion of the script.
You know, the whole thing, first of all, that the story is a great story that holds together. A lot of musicals, the script sometimes feels like an excuse to sing the songs. It doesn't feel like that with Music Man. Music Man is a cohesive piece of theater. It holds together as a drama. There's extended dialogue where it's well written. Meredith Willson wrote the book, the lyrics, and the music, which is also kind of unusual. And so maybe that's part of the reason it does have a cohesiveness to it.
Well, Reed Edelman, I want to thank you for being with us on Radio Curious.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And before we close, about you.
Okay.
Can you share with us a eureka or an aha moment that changed your life?
When I was in high school.
Where?
Lick Wilmerding High School in San Francisco, which I then went back to teach at. I graduated from Lick Wilmerding, went on to college, and then came back and taught for 13 years, taught theater at Lick Wilmerding High School. And as a student there, we had an annual trip to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. As I mentioned before, I had loved musicals as a kid. And in my sophomore year of high school, I directed a production of Cabaret, which was a huge and naive project for me to take on as a sophomore. But it was those trips to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival that I think made me realize that this was not just something I loved, but it was something I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I remember going to see James Edmondson in Death of a Salesman and it was must have been 1980, I think. And seeing him play that role, I was so caught up in it, and I just realized that this is what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to spend my life in the world of theater. And so,
is there anything else that you would like to do with the remainder of your one precious life?
I feel so lucky that I'm doing what I love doing, but I do have other interests. You know, I think if I weren't a theater director, I would be a carpenter maybe. I love working with wood and building things. I have a dream of someday buying an old house and remodeling it and fixing it up. I love gardening. I love riding horses. My hope for the rest of my life is also related to my family, seeing my kids grow up and being a part of their lives and seeing them do what they love doing. So I know that theater will always be a part of what I do.
And finally, Reed Edelman, is there a book that you could recommend to our listeners?
There's a wonderful book about the creative process called Impro by Keith Johnstone. Impro is a book specifically about the art of theatrical improvisation, how to, you know, create theater without a script. To me, what Keith Johnstone talks about in this book is really about the art of creativity. And the things that he writes about in that book are relevant to all theater, to all creative work, any art, and just living one's life. It was a transformative book for me in terms of how do we each unleash the creativity and that's inside of us, that's natural for children. Children are born with this wonderful sense of creativity. And I think as we grow older, that creative spirit is in danger of getting suppressed.
Acculturated, yes, socialized.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And so Impro is an amazing book about getting back in touch with that core creativity that's in each of us and encouraging it to flourish. I recommend it not just to theater people, but to everybody. And to teachers especially, because it has so much in that book about the art of teaching.
Reed Edelman, thank you very much for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Reed Edelman is a professor of theater arts at Mendocino College in Ukiah, California, and the producer and director of the 2013 presentation of The Music Man. The book he recommends is Improv, Improvisation and the Theater, by Keith Johnstone. This interview was recorded in the Radio Curious studios on March 29th, 2013. Over 400 Radio Curious programs may be found on our website, radiocurious.org. They're free as my gift to you. I hope you enjoy them. Our address is 280 North Oak Street, Ukiah, UKIAH, California, 95482. The phone is 707-462-6541, and email is curious@radiocurious.org. Christina Onnestad is our assistant producer. I'm host and producer Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.